Oh, okay. That wasn't me. That was somebody else.
I don't even know. Well, here we are again, Starseeds.
Greetings.
These are Jay's spooky insights. So tell me what your spooky insights this week are.
Jay's spooky insights. I have insights.
Of the spooky variety.
Of the spooky variety, yes. So one thing we talk about a lot here is, it's so weird with this hair, is staying in connected to source, whatever you believe that is. Whether you believe it's a anthropomorphic god, you know, like bearded dude in the sky, whether you believe in just like the energy that connects us all,
the flying spaghetti monster,
whatever that source thing is that you connect to, the love of mankind, whatever it is, there is something that happens when we stay connected to that, and a lot of things we want to happen just automatically happen. And we find ourselves in some great positions. I don't know why I'm like messing with this right now, but this isn't a position. It's a position for you. I'm starting to like, yeah. At any rate, stay on task. So staying connected to source.
This show, no,
I know.
There's no such thing.
Right? No tasks. No tax. But staying connected is hard sometimes because I can, let's talk about staying connected because
staying hard most of the times. Wait.
Okay. That's what I thought I heard.
Wait, never mind. Please keep going.
Staying
hard most of the time.
But no, it's a challenge because I can be connected to that in that, you know, atmosphere where I'm like, okay, everything's okay. And then I can get kicked out of that. And I find myself best when I'm led by something. And for me, it's not a dude in the sky, mm-hmm. but when I'm led by some principles and when I come from that point, knowing that the universe is going to take care of me. So for some, it's just the universe in general, but knowing that the universe is here all everywhere.
Can you do me a favor? Can you just say, baby, look pretty now?
What's that from?
I don't know.
Baby, look pretty now? I don't even know what that's from. But anyhow, the thing is that whatever that is, being connected to that thing that's going to help you to manifest.
Yes.
Being connected to that thing where all manifestation comes from. So what happens is that there's certain things, there's certain ways of being that we have that are contrary to us staying in line with that that energy, that force, that source. So I want to talk about the don't bees of
what?
I need to stop looking at you. I'm going to talk about the don't bees.
I'm living for this look, really.
I know, you're all about the hair. So we're going to talk about the don't bees.
I'm trying not to distract you, I'm sorry.
We're talking about the don't bees of being connected. If you want to stay connected, a couple of things not to be. Number one, don't be afraid. And I don't mean, we all have fear sometimes, but what happens is that when I get afraid of something, first of all, fear a lot of times is either me afraid that I'm going to lose something that I already have, mm-hmm. or afraid that I'm not going to get something that I want.
Yes.
Even if it's you're like, oh, what about if you're in danger or fear? Well, you're afraid that your well-being is going to be taken away, or that your something you have is going to be taken away, and that you're not going to get to live anymore. I mean, it's like
you're not gonna get to live.
That's what you're not gonna get to live. But fear, you know, is one of those things that stops us because it's hard to have fear. It's hard to practice fear and practice faith, whatever that means to you, at the same time.
Ooh, that's a tricky one. Yeah, it's you can't have one, can't have one without the other. But it's true. Like they're polar opposites, but they're like completely interconnected in such a way.
Well,
but they can't exist at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, it's like I can't act out of both because now I'll say this. I can completely be afraid of something, be scared of something, and practice faith in that, even though it scares me.
Right.
I can do that, but I can't practice faith and practice fear at the same time, actively be in those. And what happens is that when I'm afraid, my fear says that whatever this source is, the universe, whatever, isn't going to take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
Fear says that I'm not in the position to where I'm not connected. And if I don't think the universe is going to take care of me, if I don't live in a friendly universe, then I'm not connected to that universe.
Right.
If I don't think, you know, a God mm-hmm. or a universe or a spirit or an energy source is looking out for me, if I'm afraid that whatever that thing is, that the universe has dropped the ball, my fear stops me. Fear stops us from like doing things. Sometimes we talked about, you know, there's a fear of success, a fear of failure, but there's also a fear of success. Like mm-hmm. some of us can't move forward in life because we're afraid of what'll happen if I succeed. Mm-hmm.
I heard something earlier today. I was listening to My Favorite Murder and Karen was talking about, I forget what she was talking about, a book that she was reading, but she is based on religion. And so there's talking about like faith in religion mm-hmm. and how a lot of people they take religion or they take spirituality and they kind of twist it and turn into like a fear thing. And yeah. you know, a fear, God-fearing person, a God-fearing Christian,
yeah,
you know, because you're afraid of God. But they were talking about how actual spirituality, or quote unquote from this book, is actually like a faith-based God, whereas, you know, all benevolent, like, you know, loves everyone, loves everything, has zero fear, doesn't want to hurt anybody. And that's, I think, ideally where religion or spirituality should exist, is in that kind of spectrum, not this kind of like I'm afraid because I'm gonna burn in hell for all eternity after I'm dead. You know,
motherfuckers,
that's no way to live.
Running around smiting motherfuckers.
Yeah, there's no way to live.
I don't want
to
be smit.
Yeah, no.
Smitten.
I mean,
smote.
I should be smote by now, truly. if that were the case. So, anyways.
Yeah.
I thought I'd share that.
No, but no, that's true though. And it's like, we can be afraid of religion. And the thing is, it's hard, you know, for me, it's weird. You talk about being a God-fearing person or mm-hmm. like what I believed before, I had so much fear about the God that I believed in. Mm-hmm. And it's weird. I don't know whether I would have said that aloud. I didn't believe that God wanted to send me to hell or anything like that. I didn't believe that, but I was afraid that I was displeasing, you know, this ultimate being.
Right.
And that just even by being gay, and that I had that nothing could be done by that. So I was just in this shape that I couldn't, you know, I couldn't get out of. Yeah. So I lived in fear, constant fear. And it's hard to say when I am in fear, when I'm afraid, what happens is that thing is so in front of me that it's hard to see anything else.
Yeah.
That's what I'm focusing on. So if we want to stay connected, don't be afraid. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I know you can be, you know, things will come to be afraid of at times, but like, you know, put the fear on ice. Like, and yeah. how do you not be afraid? You know, you can say, like, a lot of times I'm afraid that I'm not going to have money. And I started just saying, you know what? Money comes to me quickly, easily, frequently from mm-hmm. multiple sources on a continuous basis.
Isn't she on Game of Thrones?
Cersei. I don't know if I told you this, but like, I, because everybody has black names on there.
Yeah.
Tywin and Tyrion and Shakira. I don't know, Shakira. But all these names, Cersei. Sound like she do hair.
Yeah,
that would be her. She does braids. She does braids in the back of somebody.
Cersei does braids.
Cersei do braids. That would be the name of her operation. Cersei do braids, and Cersei would be hooking it up. Somebody would be like, "Oh, girl, your braids look good. Who did your hair?"
Cersei.
So don't be afraid. Don't even be afraid of humor. So that's the first thing.
That too.
But also don't be ashamed.
Yeah.
Shame is okay. So let's talk about the difference between guilt and shame. Guilt is a negative feeling about something that I have done. Right. I have done this to hurt somebody. I have done this, so I feel guilty. Shame is a negative feeling about who I am.
Yeah.
And when I have a negative feeling about who I am, it doesn't line up with me being a child or a creation or of the, you know, ultimate universe, or being connected to source.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm inherently bad. If I have negative feelings about myself, then I'm disagreeing with the universe that says that I'm good.
Right.
I'm disagreeing with the universe that says, you know, that I'm worthy. And what happens is when I lived in shame for a long time. I mean, through so much stuff. I mean, I was a weird kid, but I mean, the being gay, and there's, have you heard, we talked about this book. I might have sent you the audio version of it, but Velvet Rage, The Velvet Rage.
I don't think you sent me that, no.
It might be a little dated in some ways now, but like some things still apply. And it talks about the anger that a lot of gay men carry around and how a lot of that anger is, and not like rageful anger, but a lot of it is just like internalized anger and how that's based in shame.
Truthfully, speaking up to the choir here, preaching to the choir, because like a lot of the stuff that I've dealt with in my life, you know, I've ran from issues. I've been afraid that I wasn't worthy. I've had various levels and layers to the onion of shame of regarding, you know, my sexuality, the things that I've been through, the things that I've done, just all kinds of stuff. And when I started writing about this stuff, because I just seemed like I had no other option at that point. I'm like, either I process this in whatever way that I can possibly do this, or I'm just going to live in this shame forever.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of like where the Hookup Horror Stories idea came from, was, you know, all this negative experiences that I've had that I've kind of held on to for such a long time, that I'm like, you know what, let's just make this into something funny. Let's make this into something that people might be able to benefit from, because, you know, darkness can only hide in more darkness. Darkness can't exist in the light.
Yeah.
Is basically where I,
because that would be light then.
Because that would be light then. Exactly.
But yeah, and in shame, I mean, because if I live in shame and I say I'm not worthy, what happens is I start living like someone who's not worthy. If I say, oh, I'm not a good person, I'm a bad person. If I feel that, then I start taking actions that are consistent with not being a good person.
Right.
And so shame, even if we've done things badly, a lot of times, you know, we do things badly. Now, guilt can be healthy, that if I feel guilty about something, oh, I should not have done that. That thing is something that I don't like to do. I shouldn't do that thing anymore.
Yeah.
But shame says, I did that thing. I'm such a horrible person. I'm a piece of shit, blah, blah, blah. And what happens is shame is not the opposite of humility.
Right.
Shame is a way of ego. So humility isn't thinking less of myself. It's thinking of myself less. So if I am based in shame, I can actually have a lot of ego in that, because if I'm based in shame, I'm more fucked up than you.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, that.
Then you're just commiserating.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Trauma bonding.
I love that bit saying, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, and shame is something that's hard to get over. Some of this, I'm just like, just, I say don't be, and these are the don't be's. And I'm not saying that these are easy not to do. What I am saying is that some of us actively live in these things, and until they're brought to light, a lot of us are living in fear, you know, being afraid. A lot of us are living our lives ashamed, and we really don't know. It's a feeling that we don't like, and we don't know words to attach to it, but that's shame, baby. That's what you're feeling. So don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Another one, don't be angry. I used to hold on to my right to be angry. If something happened, no, but you don't understand, blah, blah, blah. And they shouldn't have. And when I have anger, I step out of connection with whatever that is, because if I am a child of the universe wants the best for me, wants me to be happy, healthy, wealthy, and wise. And I step out, I have to step out of that to keep myself in anger. Right. Because if I'm vibrating on the frequency of anger, anger is like down here and my manifestation is up here. And what happens is that I miss a lot by being angry, because I could draw some great things to myself, but angry attracts more angry. And what happens is it's so funny, because there's certain people that calm down. No, they don't deserve me to calm down. But it's like, I deserve to calm down.
Yeah.
Because what I realize is that if I get addicted to it, let me tell you something, anger, being rageful, that can get addicting like a drug. Mm-hmm. Because what happens is that all of a sudden I'm angry and all of a sudden like that feeling is something different from what I was feeling. And it's a strong emotion. I'm feeling something strong. And even if it's unpleasant, it's strong now.
I just had Sam Jackson playing in my head from Pulp Fiction. He goes, I will smite thee with righteous fury.
No, smite people. And that wasn't even the real verse. They read like a line of the verse and like, and changed it all around.
Yeah, he was winging it.
Yeah. Yeah. Way the long, and it was he gave about three verses worth of stuff and said, that's just this one verse. But
was that improvised?
Huh?
Was that improvised?
I don't
semi-improvised.
I don't know.
I want to say words.
Now we're gonna Google this.
Yeah. Anyways.
Find out when you come back. We come back from the next show.
Righteous fury.
Yeah. And furious rebukes. But anyhow, yeah, when we're angry, it's like, especially like when we're angry with people, when we want to keep our right to be hurt, keep our right to be angry, that's a scary thing, because what happens is that I can't be angry and joyful at the same time.
You got a whole bunch of angry people walking around.
Yeah. And the thing is that my anger does not make room for my joy.
Yeah.
My anger does not make room for my best decision-making either.
Yeah.
And yeah. If I want to stay connected.
Anger clouds judgment.
Yeah.
For sure. It takes you out of like that, the clarity of like really taking a step back and identifying issues and stuff that you got going on mentally or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And then it actually just puts you back into that kind of negative space where you're yelling at the fucking post office worker. I don't know. I don't know that story.
And
I don't know where that came from. That didn't happen to me.
But I love it because
I didn't yell at a post office worker for no reason.
When was this? When was this not?
He charged me for tape. He charged me for tape and I got very angry and I yelled at him.
I used to hypothetically,
this didn't happen.
I used to like kick something or have to punch something. And it's like anger can get, when I allow myself to get angry, the more I allow myself to get angry at, the more I allow myself to get angry at.
Yep.
And that can kind of snowball. And then I got to tell somebody about themselves. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you what you did wrong. I got to like be the enforcer now, right? Mm-hmm. Because I'm angry and I got to put my, and a lot of anger comes from fear. Some fear mm-hmm. comes from anger. Some anger comes from fear. But a lot of anger is me being afraid that I can't control or change something.
Right.
But it also, like, even with people, sometimes I found myself this, there is a need to punish sometimes. So crazy. I'm gonna be angry at you now. I'm angry. I'm beautiful
too. I'm sorry, these wigs.
I'm so pretty. But
baby look pretty now.
What is that from?
It's not from anything. It's just funny.
Okay. It's just funny. But yeah, it's like, and sometimes being angry with people, sometimes there's a need to punish to where I want to stay angry at someone so they'll know that they hurt me. I want to keep this anger going, this resentment, this ill will going to someone, because they need to know that I was hurt. And that kind of thinking stops us, like, don't be that dude, don't be angry. That kind of thing stops us.
I can't.
It's hard to take me seriously.
I know, right? Really.
Please continue, I'll stop.
Another is, so don't be argumentative. We said, don't be afraid, don't be ashamed, don't be angry. Mm-hmm. Don't be argumentative. You ever notice some people that, like, you say the sky is blue, they have to say that. I won't even say that. Okay. So I go on social media now. There are a lot of people who post things, who are my friends on social media, who post things that I disagree with.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized, I wish I had known this years ago, that it's possible to see something you disagree with, not have to press the angry button, mm-hmm. not have to comment on it, just scroll past it and stop reading as soon as you get angry.
Yeah.
And what happens is my anger allows me to be argumentative. And you ever seen some people, it's so funny. I had two different instances. I had one roommate that, and we're friends now. We're friends again.
Yeah.
But who loved to argue so much, even when I would start agreeing with him,
mm-hmm.
he would like, say that I was saying something else so he could keep the argument going.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's certain people where I'll like be telling you the thing you want to hear, or I mean the thing like I'll be agreeing with you, yeah. Not you. I'll be, you know, I agree you specifically. But what happens is that when we're argumentative, like I want to just, it's again, that's, you know, again, with that need to punish, that you say this is this, I have to be right.
Yeah. I feel that, so a lot of these, like, you know, queer media outlets, these queer like news outlets, they're all kind of one note when things are bad, say for example the Dave Chappelle thing. I hate to bring this up again, but every news article that I've read from them is just something negative. It's not constructive. You know, it's just like, he did wrong, blah blah blah. It's like, okay, well, what is the reasoning behind this? What is the, I understand the reasoning, why you're upset, why you're angry, but at the same time, like, it's that anger that's being released, that retribution that's being released.
Yeah,
it's kind of like, well, how do we get to this point? You know, it's taking a step back from like actually analyzing all the cogs in the wheel, if you will.
Yeah. And another thing is this whole being argumentative thing. Be careful what you have to, because some of us love to find somebody to put thumbs down on.
Right.
We have to have an us versus them. And when I become argumentative, I throw the facts out the window. And sometimes I can be, you know, write about something and I just want to have a debate with somebody. I can do that. And what happens is that when I'm argumentative with somebody, my point is more important than your point. Mm-hmm. I'm more important than you are. Mm-hmm. You're wrong, I'm right. And what happens when I become argumentative, I all of a sudden put that person and me on a, see, if we're all connected and we're all the same, that's one thing. But if it puts me as different than somebody, now I'm better than somebody because their point isn't right.
Right.
What happens is that when I'm argumentative, I can't be happy and joy. When I'm arguing with you, I can't be serving you. When I'm arguing with you, I can't be nice to you.
Right.
And it takes me out of that. What happens when I'm argumentative, I'm no longer in that, you know, the sunlight of the spirit and the sunlight of the universe. So,
right. I just want to be right.
Yeah. I just want to be right. If loving the Lord is wrong, I don't want to be right. And the last thing is,
don't be gay.
Don't be a homosexual. Yes.
Says two flaming homosexuals in the way.
Right. Right. Seriously. The last thing is, don't be all knowing. You ever talk to somebody, and I've been this guy before, so I can talk about it. You say, yeah, I know. Like, I know.
What is it? Oh, me? Oh.
No, you ever?
Me?
But it's so weird sometimes, like, that whole thing about knowing, like, I know that, I mean, I don't know, certain people are just used to saying, I know, when it's something they didn't know.
Yeah. It also takes you from being the student.
Yes.
That I know is just a way to shut someone else down by shutting them up, essentially.
Yeah.
I get it. I'm guilty of this a lot, especially with like family members. Like, you know, people want to tell me something. It's like, I know, I get it. Okay, thanks. You know, and that happens a lot. But at the same time, you know, it's kind of like that gut reaction when we're told what's the word? Information that doesn't quite want to sit, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What's that word? Contrary information.
Oh, yeah.
Contrary information, yeah.
Information is contrary to what I believe.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. I don't know what's wrong with me.
I don't know either.
But yeah, the thing is, I can't grow if I don't learn. And I can't learn if I think I already know everything.
Exactly.
If I know everything, all right. If you can't, this is a funny thing. I remember, this was at a church too. I remember one guy was a preacher and he was talking about another preacher. He's like, he can't teach me nothing. And I'm like, look, let me tell you something. If there is a single person on this earth that can't teach you one thing, then you are just not like, you're not limiting that person, you're limiting yourself, and exactly. You're limiting the universe. Mm-hmm. Because whether it's good or bad, the universe teaches me things through people all the time. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you this, I can learn something that I didn't know from anybody, from a little kid, from an old man, mm-hmm. from somebody who, you know, might not, who, I don't know, just.
I learn at least one new thing every day, at least.
That helps your brain. It helps your brain.
It helps your brain. This week, we're going to talk about this later, but I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos about death.
Death. I'm pro death.
I'm pro death for sure. Pro death.
Go death.
Go death.
Go death. We pro death.
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. I mean, it's like the things not to be if you want to stay connected. Don't be afraid. I'm gonna say don't be animated. Don't be afraid.
Don't be a cartoon character.
Yes. Don't be ashamed. Don't be angry. Don't be argumentative. And don't be, what was the last one?
Ignorant?
Don't be ignorant. Don't be all-knowing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that you're going to know that one. Don't be all-knowing.
Don't be ignorant.
Yeah, this is the don't be's. Next time, maybe we'll talk about the doobies.
The doobies.
I do be. Some people ask me a question, do I be like that? And I'm like, I do be. I do be.
I like doobies, especially with this hair.
I know you do. Oh, yeah. You look like a fucking hippie.
Thank you for listening, you guys. This has been Jay's Cosmic Insights. I appreciate your cosmic insights this week. I'm sure all of our listeners do as well. If you like this video, be sure to rate, share, subscribe to all your friends, and we'll see you next time.
See you. We're going to have a break.